Ramban Parshas Vayera. So the first pasuk of Vayera has a long Ramban on it that is very fundamental. The Ramban begins by quoting the Mor Nevuchim. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim has a very unique view of what happens in many of the Parshios in Bereishis, that they are, a lot of them are, seem to be dreams. Exactly what we mean, or Maros, visions. So the Ramban's going to explain what exactly the Rambam meant by that, and disagree with him, but the Rambam, Kipshuto, in its simple reading, the Rambam understands that any time you have the Pasuk saying, someone saw a Malach, he didn't see a Malach. He had a vision, and he had a Nevuah. And all the Nevuahs people had besides Moshe were Al Yedei Malach. And so therefore, when you see, there were at the lower level from that is a Bas Kol. So the Nevi'im say, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, when they had Nevuah, that was from a Malach. So anytime we talk about any of the three of them in Bereishis, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, dealing with Malachim, Yaakov had a fight with a Malach. None of that happened physically. This was all Amara Nevuah. This was all Nevuah. And Hagar, remember Hagar spoke to the Malachim, that was Al Yedei Bas Kol. But all these stories couldn't have happened physically because you don't see Malachim, so it must have been a Nevuah. So this story with the three Malachim was all Nevuah. Okay, so the Ramban says all of it is Nevuah? Like, he's in the Rambam, how do we understand what the Rambam meant? You remember, Lot, the last week's parasha, right? Lot had a discussion with Malachim. All those were dreams. So that means all the story didn't happen. Like, so Lot's still in Sodom now? You know what I mean? Like, the whole thing, meeting, and the destruction, and the Malachim saying, go here, go there. All that never happened. It's all in Nevuah. So nothing of it ever happened. So then Lot never left Sodom. And Yaakov was never really Tzolei Al Yerecho. And all these things never happened. Why would you be Tzolei Al Yerecho from a dream? Why did Yaakov say, Kiraisi Elokim Panim El Panim Natinatzal Nafshe, I was saved when he fought the Malach? Oh, I was saved. Saved from what? A Nevuah? If you were scared from what you saw in a dream? None of it sounds like, in this story here, there was no Archim, Sarah never baked any matzahs. None of this any happened. So it sounds like the Ramban, explaining the Rambam, is saying that the Rambam doesn't mean literally that. He meant the talking and the seeing of Malachim, that was like a Nevuah that would happen while the rest of the story was happening, meaning the physical story was happening, that Sodom was being destroyed. But any discussions with Malachim, that had to be Al Yedei Nevuah. So how did the rest of Sodom see those Malachim? That's also Nevuah. There's a lot of questions. Anyway, I'll just quote the Lashon of the Ramban is, Elu Dvarim Sosrim HaKosuv Asur L'Shomam Afki Lahamin Bahem. He really does not like that Rambam. This is against, doesn't sound like the Pesukim at all. It's also to hear them, certainly not to believe in them. He does not agree at all with the Rambam. Okay, so what does the Ramban hold? So the Ramban says, which you may find surprising, he agrees to the Rambam partially in the sense that your physical eyes cannot see a Malach. No way. Impossible that your physical eyes can see a Malach. So anytime someone is seeing a Malach, under normal circumstances, like we're going to explain, if it says you saw a Malach, it is a vision, but it's not a Nevuah. It's a Mara, but it's not Nevuah. Because, like the example of Hagar was not a Navi. She saw a Malach, and that doesn't make her a Navi. She was no Navi. But it is a type of Mara, like he quotes by Bilam, he saw the Malach. That's a Gilui Einayim. Again, I don't know exactly these levels. Nevuah, is supposed to be somebody falls to the floor and loses control of their body, and it's a very specific thing, Nevuah. They're able to see something. Their neshama, I don't know exactly what it is, but their neshama can see it. It's not the light is not refracting off the retina in their eyes. It's not that kind of seeing. It's a vision of sorts, but it's not Nevuah where, like, it's official Nevuah. It's not. It's called Gilui Einayim. To see a Malach, it's true your physical eyes cannot see it, but it's not Nevuah either. It's just called the Gilui Einayim. That's all under normal circumstances. However, sometimes Malachim can appear as Anashim. That's a different thing. Then the Malachim get some kind of, he says, Levush. They get some kind of thing where it sounds like your physical eye can see them. Lezake Hanefesh. So that's kind of a little bit hard to understand, a little kind of mixed, sounds like. Sounds like if you're a holy person, or you have a level of Zake Hanefesh, which is a pure of soul, then you can see them. Now, of course, this is Hashem, and this is, Malachim, so, anything can be. Do they physically exist, or they don't? How can you have something that half physical? Your eyes see them. It sounds like your physical eyes see them, but only Zake Hanefesh see them. I don't know exactly if it means, like, really everybody could see them, but Hashem won't let everybody. I'm not sure exactly. But when Malachim decide to, or are coming down as Anashim, they can be seen physically. It's not a vision. It's not a Mara. They can be seen physically. And in this case, in Vayera, they came as Anashim, so they can be seen with the eye, like regular people. He says again, Zakeh Nefesh, maybe not everybody could see them, but those who see them saw them, and they appeared like people. And that's what was going on here. Same thing by Yaakov. Yaakov, why was he Tzalei al Yerecho? It was a vision. No, Vayeavek Ish Imo. It appeared like a person. It sounds like Yaakov had an actual physical fight, struggle, whatever it was. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it had other levels too, but it was a real, the Malach came as an Ish. That means he was seeable. It was a physical Malach with some kind of levush that made it physical. Okay, so that's as far as the Malach. Then we have that Hashem appeared, same pasuk, Hashem appeared to Avram. Why was that? Because he had just done Bris Milah, and you can have a Gilui Shechina when a mitzvah is done. In other words, sometimes a Navi is getting Nevuah, and that's why Hashem appears to him. But sometimes there's a Gilui Shechina just in honor of a mitzvah, like as a schar for a mitzvah that was done, to show that Hashem liked that mitzvah. It was L'nachas Ruach Hafana, it was accepted, it was good. Like when they finished building a Mishkan, it said, Vayetu, Vayivarach Hasam, Vayirach Vod, Hashem El Kala'am. That was a schar for the mitzvah that it was considered accepted by Hashem. And by Kriyas Yamsuf, where by Yaminu B'Hashem and Moshe Abdo, they had Emuna in Hashem, and they trusted in Moshe. They went into the sea and all that. They followed him into the desert. So that was a great schus. And for that, it was Rosh Shivcha Alayam. Hashem appeared to them. Again, there was no... Hashem didn't appear at Yamsuf to give them Nevuah. It was just a Gilui Shechina in the schus, in the merit, that they had, they did that mitzvah. So here too, Avram had just done Bris Milah, so Hashem there was Gilui Shechina for that reason. Okay, then we have another interesting pasuk here. Al Nasa Avar Me'al Avdecha. Avram Avinu is talking to three people, and he talks in the singular. You, Al Na Ta'avor, not Al Na Ta'avoru, Al Na Ta'avor. Why is he talking in the singular when there's many people there? Three. So the Ramban's pshat is because that's the way the Torah always talks. Very often we find the Torah says, like it says, Erva Savicha, Berva Simcha Lo Segale. It's talking to an individual, as if to an individual. It's talking to all of Klai Shalom, it's talking as if to an individual. Another pasuk says, "If we cast them, mishamasam Hashem lokecha umatzasa, you singular, kisid rishenu b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, not b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem." And there's a lot in the Torah that are like that. That's talking as if it's to an individual, even though it's talking to many. So it's saying when he says, "Al nasa avor me'al avdechem kol echad yedaber." Is speaking to each and every one. So when the Torah says something in the singular, it's as if it's talking to each person. And whenever the Torah talks as in plural, it means the whole group. And this is especially interesting. Is the Ramban says this, Rabbeinu Bachai says this in another context, not in this parsha elsewhere. But I believe the Gra says the exact opposite. I believe the Gra says, I think it's by Parshas Truma, I could be wrong, Parshas Truma, when it says, I believe all of the tzivuyim to make the Mishkan are said in the singular, v'asisa, 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 but when it comes to the Aron, it says v'asu. I believe it's with the exact opposite shot, that when it says it in the plural, then it means each and every individual, because everyone had to be part of the Aron. But when it says v'asisa, then it's talking to the group as a whole. You, Klai Yisrael, need to build this. V'asu means each and every individual. Anyway, this is clearly the opposite. The Ramban says this, and again, Rabbeinu Bachai says this. I forget in another parsha, the opposite, that when it says something b'lashon singular, then it means each and every person. And when it says something in individually to a group, it means the group as a whole. And there are many rayas, you know, both ways. There's it says by lulav lekachtem lachem bayom harishon. So what does that mean? That's lekachtem said in plural, and it clearly means to each and every individual. That goes like the gra. On the other hand, you have, let's say, the second paragraph of Shema. It says, if you keep the mitzvos, and it's in Lashon plural, if you keep the mitzvos, so then your grass will grow, you know, get all, the field will grow well. That means individuals. Clearly, that's talking, it seems to be clearly talking to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Okay, anyway, so there's different rayas back and forth. Okay, so the Ramban also, he brings Rashi and the Chazal that Avraham was just talking to the Gadol. Okay, regardless, so the Ramban's chat was that he was talking to each person, and he realizes that they don't mean to stay overnight, and he really wants to do chesed with them. So that's why he says, it's a long road, so just take some bread and, you know, wash off a little bit. I know you're not here to sleep, but at least, you know, cool off a little bit from the long trip, have some food, wash your hands, whatever. So, again, it's just spelling out the chesed of Avram, that he knew they didn't plan on staying long, and he still wanted to help them out in some way. So when they agreed to have some food, he made shalosh sa'im of ugos for each one. Maharish shalosh sa'im kemach solas lushi vasi ugos. He says, Chazal say that it was for each one of them. So think about that. 3 sa'in per person. A sa'a, a third of a sa'a is a shir challah, I believe. A third of a sa'a is a shir challah. So that's a 5-pound bag of flour, right? Which for most of us, that's enough for like several Shabbases, I think. It's a lot, 5-pound bag of challah, of flour. So 3 of those per sa'a, that's 9 shir challahs per person. That's an inordinate amount. Why would Avram have thought that they needed so much flour? So the Ramban asked that. He's like, that's a lot. Why do you think he needs so much? He doesn't really know. And he thought maybe, because as a malach reading, things were disappearing. Maybe he thought they ate a lot. That sounds like what he's saying. But either way, it's a question why they needed so much. Okay, now we have Avram. It says that Avram Basar is a Kenim Ba'im Bayamim. What does Ba'im Bayamim mean? So he says something interesting. That when a person's young, they're called Omed Bayamim, or they're called Yamav. But when they're old, so then they're called Ba Bayamim, because it's as if they're coming somewhere else. I think he means by that the person feels either that they're going to another place or that they don't feel secure where they are. They're Ba Bayamim, they're coming like in the days. You know, they don't know, they don't think they're staying that long. He says when someone's older than most people in their door, then they feel like a ba bayamim, like they're going somewhere else, they're not going to be there that long, something like that. Okay, now we have something amazing, really amazing. When the Sara hears the Malachim say that she's going to have a kid, so she laughed because she didn't believe it. And then when Avram said to her, why are you laughing? Hashem can't do this. And she said, no, I didn't mean it. Then she knew the benevuah. He was told that she did laugh, so she, you know, she didn't say anything. But what was wrong with what she did? Because the Ramban explains, she didn't know he was talking. Avram knew he was talking to Malachim. She maybe never even saw them. All she did was overhear that they said she was going to have a kid. So she didn't know they were angels. It's just random people coming in and say, your wife's going to have a child, and she inwardly laughed, bekirba, like it. He says anytime it says they have someone says a schok balev, it means they don't believe it. It's not a lashon of simcha. As you may schok pino, schok bepeh means that they're actually happy, smiling. But schok balev, that's not by simcha. She didn't believe it. And what was the taina though? Who Hashem didn't tell her it was going to happen. She didn't even think Malachim were saying this. So, her avera was, the Ramban says, Hashem says that she should have believed, or she should have said, Amen. She didn't say Amen, because she thought it was impossible. She should have thought it was impossible. One second. It was impossible. It required an ace. Sarah was supposed to be on a higher level that Hashem could do for her. And she should have said Amen. She should have believed stronger that Hashem can help her. I mean, it's truly amazing, especially for us. It was literally impossible in the physical world. Some random guy says, I hope your wife's going to have a kid. And she, I guess we would say, like, rolled her eyes. But she like, inwardly laughed. She scoffed at it. And that was a lack of bitachon. Even though we required an ace, she should have had more bitachon in Hashem and said, Amen. We say if someone davens about something that's impossible, it's like a tefillah shav. Maybe there are different levels here. But anyway, it was a lack of faith in Hashem. She should have said Amen. Or she should have believed it could be, because Hashem can help her. How could it be? Again, I don't know. Either Hashem would make an ace. Or, once heard a Rav say, Hashem is very creative. Like, just because you can't figure out how it could happen, doesn't mean Hashem can't figure out how it could happen. Things can happen, al yidei teva, that you didn't think. Like, remember, this Rav actually said it during COVID, where COVID happened. COVID was kamat anes, how bad it was. And then when it was going on, people felt like it could never end. And what's going to be? The whole world's going to die or whatever. And when people would say, they have to have chizik and Hashem. So what do you mean? It would take an ace for us to be COVID to end tomorrow. I remember this Rav. It was Rabbi Berger from Baltimore saying, Hashem is very creative. Very, very creative. Just because you can't chop how it can happen doesn't mean Hashem doesn't have a way of making things happen. In a natural way. Just like COVID was, nobody would have dreamt in a billion years, how are you going to shut down every shul on planet Earth overnight? It would take an ace. It wasn't an ace. It was natural. You didn't think of it. Doesn't mean Hashem can't come up with it. So, so either she should have believed because Hashem could make an ace for her, or because Hashem, so to speak, is very creative and could have made it happen some way, even Derech HaTeva, or whatever. Just the way she reacted, her inward reaction reflected a lack of emunah. It also means, interestingly, that when Hashem promised Avram that he would have kids, he never bothered mentioning that to Sarah. Why not? Right? The Hashem promised him that he will have a Zera. Why didn't he tell that to Sarah? So he says maybe he was too busy. Mirov's Rizuso Mimitzo say Torah Bimiloso Bimilas Amrav Asharbesi. It was right at the Bris Milas when Hashem told it to him. He was too busy, he was busy giving everyone a Bris Mila. Or he may have thought, if I got to know who about this, Hashem would have told Sarah too. So Chazal say she was even a greater Navi than him. Okay. Okay, then Hashem says he's going to destroy Sodom, and he has to tell Avram. Or he's going to tell Avram why. Because Avram, yeah, gar gadol v'atzom v'nivruchu bo kol goyei ha'aretz. So, what does that have to do with the price of fish? Hashem is going to destroy Avram. Hashem is going to destroy Sodom, and Hashem has to tell Avram because he's going to be a gar gadol v'atzom Avram, because he's going to have a big nation. And people will say, oh, you should be like Avram. Oh, the guy, I'm going to say that. So therefore, I have to tell Avram about this. Why is that? What does one have to do with the other? So he says, because since he's going to be a big nation, so it's right that he should know. And furthermore, since people are going to be blessing their kids, you should be like Avram. So people are going to say, how come these were neighbors of Avram? How come Avram didn't daven for them? Well, if he didn't know, he couldn't have davened for them. But people would say that. They would say, Avram was an Avi, how come he didn't daven for his neighbors? So Hashem had to tell Avram so he could daven for his neighbors. Everyone would go. Okay, now we have another very fundamental Ramban in Parak. Yud Ches Pasuk Yates. This is like a must-see. Seriously, a must-see. It says, Ki Yedativ L'man Asher Yitzav Ez Banav Ez Beis Ho'acharav. So it's the next Pasuk. Ki Yedativ L'man Asher Yitzav. Why do I have to tell Avram? Ki Yedativ, because I know him. And he will transmit to his children to follow in the Derech Hashem. What does Ki Yedativ mean? So Ramban says something very sodistic. I'm going to read the words because it's important. Hanocha b'nei she yediyah bo mamish. What does that mean? It's yediyah. What does that mean? Yediyah Hashem is hashgachoso b'olam hashalim lishmor haklolim. So Hashem watches, is mashgiach in this world, on the klal, on the groups. The gam b'nei adam munachim bo lemikrim. And people also are subject to happenstance, ad boes pekudasam, until they die. Aval bechasida v'bay tzadikim, yosam elav libo ladas asober prat. Hashem will do hashgacha pratis. You hear this? That's why this is very important, because it needs to be clarified. The Ramban sounds like he's saying that most people do not get hashgacha pratis. Hashem just watches over the klal. But by chasidav, then he knows them befrat. What we, sounds like exactly the words we say, hashgacha pratis. Liyos shmiraso deveka bo tamid, for Hashem shmira to be on them constantly. Loti parid hayadia bazachir mimenu klal. Hashem doesn't stop focusing on them. Ketam lo yigra meina mitzadakenav. Okay, so sounds like the Ramban is saying, if you're a regular dude, regular person, so then that person, stuff could happen to. They could be on a train and the train's supposed to blow up for some reason. They might be on that train, even though they didn't deserve it. Because Hashem just watches over the klalim, not the yechidim. Unless the person's a tzaddik. If the person's a tzaddik, then Hashem watches over them specifically with hashgacha pratis and never lose sight of them, so to speak. This would seem, and it's a superficial reading, to be a total contradiction to the most famous Ramban in the whole of Chumash, which is in Parshas Bo, that says a person has no chelek in Taras Moshe until he believes shechol mikreinu eina mikrim, nothing is happenstance and everything is completely governed by Hashem. Every last little thing that happens is because Hashem wanted it to happen. So how do you put this? This thing says no, Hashem just watches the klalim. Only tzaddikim he watches with hashgacha pratis, but everybody else is just the general. And then in Parshas Bo, he says a person has to believe everything, every last little thing is hashgacha pratis. He even says in Parshas Bo that everything, again, like I said, ein lachadam chelak b'taras moshe shenamin b'chol dvarenu u'mikrenu shekulam nisim ein behem teva min hagash alolam. Everything is nice, bein b'rabba, bein b'yachid, even individuals. Elam yas hamitzvos yatzlichenu scharav im yaver aleim yachrisenu arsho. If you do mitzvahs, you get chai. Do averis, onish. I call b'gzeris elyon. So how does that fit with this? This, he says, people are nezev lamikra. So which is it? So this needs an explanation. What I always assumed is that here we're talking about a hashgacha pratis that is, well, let's put it this way. Regular people have mitzvos and averos. And therefore, they're not zocha to a special hashgacha pratis that will make it that nothing goes wrong to them. So, for example, if you're waiting for a bus and you're going to be late for your meeting, so if you're not a super tzaddik and there's traffic, you're going to miss it. Aye, how could it be? Doesn't Hashem run the world? I don't deserve this. Sure, you deserve it. You got plenty of averos. You're not going to be zochet to any special hashgacha pratis there because you need a special schus, because there's mikra. And most people are nezev lamikra because Hashem did create the world with mikra, and you, to overcome that, you need a special schus, and you're not a tzaddik. And you got plenty of averos, plenty of makomos. You can say, oh, why did this happen to me? Okay. How many averos do you have to? So Hashem was govin aver right then. If you want to be misgaber ala teva and be above teva, so you have to be a super tzaddik and have a special high schus. But that doesn't mean you were nezav lemikra. Like the parsha's bow means it was all b'hashkacha. Hashem did not notice what happened. Everything counts. So you just took away some averis for yourself. Everything happened because Hashem wanted it to happen exactly like that. But he made with the world with the type of teva, and therefore it's going to look like teva. But in reality, it was all b'hashkacha, and because you have averis, so then you weren't zocha to have a overcome that. But someone like Avraham Avinu, he's not going to miss the meeting because he's zocha to a higher level and teva is not a thing for him and he doesn't have averus to be gova from. So someone like that, nothing bad is going to happen to that person. Everything's going to work out with super hashkacha, everything he does. He'll have siyata nishmai and everything because a person's a higher level person. That does not mean to say that Hashem's not looking when someone doesn't have siyata nishmaya or something doesn't go quite right. It's because you need a schus to overcome the teva. And the person may not be on the level to be zelcha to that. Okay, that's my pshat. You could say your own shot, but I'm just pointing it out because it is an important thing to work out. These two Rambans, the one here versus the one in Parshas Bo. The ikker to know, though, is that there's nothing that Hashem is not running. It's all Hashem running it. It's just with the cheshbon that you can, you know, that needs to be worked out based on the person or whatever. Okay, now when Avram davens for Sodom, it says, Ha'af tispet tzadik im Rasha. So I think the regular explanation, like Rashi says, that's always regular for us, Hagam tispet, will you also? But the Ramban says something interesting, Ha'af is God's anger. Ha'af tispet tzadik im Rasha. And he's saying, is that really the way it should be? In other words, he thought Hashem's af will kill the tzadik with the Rasha, which we do find that. A concept of when the mashkes is out, ain't a mavchin bin tzadik l'rasha. It sounds like that he was saying is that he thought the af would be tispa tzadik im rasha, and he's asking, is that right? We should have it the other way. The tzadikim save everybody else. Just the opposite. Not only should we have, first of all, it shouldn't be that the tzadik is nispa with the rasha, because then that's not midas adin either. Midas Adin should say that the bad get killed and the good get saved. And here we have Ha'af Tispe Tzadikim Rasha, that it should be, no, the opposite. The Chamishim Tzadikim, so first of all, the Tzadikim shouldn't get killed with the Rishayim, and secondly, not only that, it should be the opposite. Instead of the Af taking the Rishayim, taking the Tzadikim, the Rachamim should say, we're going to save the Tzadikim and save the whole town with them too. And Hashem agreed that he would save the whole town if there were these 50 people, which of course there were not. Okay, what about there is a concept of Kibin Shinita Rishos Lamashka Sin Ma'afchen Tzadik Rasha? So that's a different thing. Ramban doesn't discuss it, so I'm going to skip it. Just pointing out another thing, as always, Ramban is very fascinating, even though most of us who are listening to this, I'm sure, I imagine all, but certainly most of us are not Mekubalim. You can find the pay attention like the Ramban does to what shame Hashem is being used. The Ramban points out, notice, every time Avram talks, he's talking to the shame Aleph Dalad. And every time the Pasuk says Hashem talks, he says Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Hashem is coming with Midas Rachamim. And it sounds like Avram was coming out to Midas Hadin. Or, anyway, that's just interesting. Okay, then we have the story of the Malachim to go to Sodom to destroy it, and they go visit Lot. And Lot is vayifzer b'mod. He was really trying to get them to come in and do achnasas zorchim to them. And the Ramban says the malachim are trying to give him a schus. That's why they're giving him a hard time, so he'd get more schus. Now, the destruction of Sodom. So the Ramban explains, first of all, that Sodom had all the midos rows in the world. But it was nigmar dinam because they didn't support the poor people. And because that's a normal thing that every other city does. They have to support the poor people. And this, they were particularly bad about that. No one was as cruel as them, but they had every bad mida. And, okay, but still, there's lots of bad people. We don't find fire coming down and destroying them. So he says, this was the Ma'alas Eretz Yisrael. He had a group that was so evil in a land that was so holy. It was because of the Ma'alas Eretz Yisrael that they had to be destroyed. Okay, then the Ramban, does a little bit of a digression into the story of Pilegish Begiva, which was very similar to this story, except it was in Israel, and fire did not come down from heaven and destroy them all. So the story of Pilegish Begiva basically is that there was this guy whose Pilegish went away, left him. Now remember, Pilegish is, they weren't married, right? It's a Pilegish, it's not Ishazish. And when the Pilegish leaves, the marriage is over. There's no get necessary. So the Pilegish goes elsewhere. She leaves, so they're done. He comes to try to get her back. And there were some lowlives who surrounded the house. And exactly what Anshei Sodom wanted to do to Lot, they wanted to do to him. And just like Lot offered up his daughters and said, why don't you take them? So that's what happened in the story of the Pilegish Begiva. They offered the man of the house who they went, it was this guy's, the Pilegish's father, who the house they were at. He offers up one of his daughters, well, both of his daughters, really, I guess. It was the one that the Pilegish won. plus his own daughter, meaning his other daughter. And the people, these guys, who's these people from Giva, which was part of Binyamin, so they they took the daughter. They did not take the Basula daughter. They took the Pilegesh lady, and they were ma'anis her throughout the night, and she died the next morning. Horrible story. Okay, and then the rest of Klai Yisrael said, this is not happening, and they surrounded Binyamin, and Binyamin didn't like the fact that they were, what the Ramban says, the Binyaminites, Sheva Binyamin did not appreciate that all of Klai Yisrael came with an army and said, give us these bums and we'll kill them, because that was not their business. In other words, they didn't ask Binyamin, why don't you take care of them, and Binyamin said no. They just showed up with an army and said, hello, where you give them the, give us these people so we'll kill them or else. So Sheva Binyamin did not like that and said, we're not to get out of here. And a war started, a horrible civil war, where Binyamin actually won at the beginning and killed a ton of of the rest of Klal Yisrael. Eventually the rest of Klal Yisrael won. But that's the basic story. So the Ramban explains why that story is, well, why it's similar is obvious. It sounds very similar. But why there were no fires coming down from heaven. Plus, it seemed there was punishment going around. In other words, for both. Binyamin, even though they were one Shevet, they killed a lot of the, you know, it was everybody 11 against 1, right? It was everybody against Binyamin. And Binyamin did pretty well the first couple of days and then eventually lost. So Binyamin killed a lot of the Jews, even though you would think they are totally correct. Like, there was a horrible story of what these bums did. And, yeah, they should be killed. So why did a lot of the Jews die? And the other story, you know, Binyamin lost soldiers too. So if Binyamin was right for some reason, why'd they lose? So the Ramban explains this as follows. The people who did the thing, who were ma'anes, this poor Pilegesh the whole night, and then she died, they were obviously bums. That's not a question. Even them, you know, he just explains this lady was not married, but obviously being honest here the whole night is not okay. And she died. Also not okay, obviously. The father who offered up his two daughters over here, the Ramban says he knew they would never take his daughter because his daughter was local. But it was the Pilegesh that was not local. So he knew they would take her. Now, what they were going to do, be mizana with the man, that's clearly bad. They did not actually do that. They were just ma'anas, this Pilegesh. So, in technically, meaning the technical, you know, thing, these people who were ma'anas, this lady the whole night, while horrible, she was single, so there was no, like, Eishes Ish. And, like, if they had been mizana with the man, that would be, they'd be chayiv misa. On the technical aspect of it, what they did has no chayiv misa, what these men did. So they weren't technically chayiv misa. Okay, second, it was not the whole townspeople that, like in Sodom, that surrounded this house. These were just a few people. And the fact that nobody stopped them had to do with the fact that these few people were like the ruffian, like the mob. Like, they were the strong guys, and they were the leaders. Nobody, the kind of people that everybody was afraid to mess with. They were the, he says, they were the sarim and the strong ones in the city. People were afraid. Okay, now, the shvatim that decided they wanted to kill this guy, like we said, even though he wasn't, the people who surrounded the house, those bums, even though they weren't technically chayav misa, it's not like they were wrong. There's a thing called Makan Ve'onshin Shelo Min HaDin. Beis Din has a right to kill people even though they're not officially over any Chiyuv Misa. If they see something needs to be Mesukin, they're allowed to do it. So Klal Yisrael getting together and saying, we're going to kill those people was highly appropriate. That was not the problem. Now, but Shevet Binyamin's opposition to this had to do with the fact that they were not consulted. In other words, who's supposed to do this? Who's supposed to kill them? Shevet Binyamin, every Shevet is supposed to take care of their Shevet, and they're supposed to do this killing of these people if it's appropriate. And this was all Klal Yisrael ready for war without asking Shevet. It was Shevet Binyamin's business to do this. So that's why Sheva Binyamin was not happy about this. So the Rabban says both of them were chayev and onesh. Binyamin should have done something. He shouldn't have waited until Klai Yisrael gets an army to go against them. They should have done it themselves already. And Klai Yisrael should have spoken to Binyamin and should have asked at least, you know, the Urim Batumim, or whatever. They should have asked, the Navi, whatever. They should have asked Hashem if they should go do the war. And when they asked if they should go, they just said who should go first. And they did not ask Hashem if they would win, because, and this is the point, the important point, because they, of course they're going to win. They're like, you know, like America against some little tiny nation. Like, of course they're going to win. They have a gazillion people in their army against one little Binyaminite army. So they didn't bother asking if they would win because they trusted in their military might. So they just said, the only thing they asked was who should go first. So Hashem responded, Yehuda will go first, but that doesn't mean they should have gone. They just asked who should go first. If you're going, Yehuda should go first, because he's generally the one who goes first. And then they lost day one. On the other hand, Binyamin wasn't great either, because Binyamin, it's true they had the right to self-defense, they didn't just chase the enemy away. Rather, they went after them, and they killed a ton of the other Jewish army, the main Jewish army, 22,000. That was Hiku Behem Lamashkes, Evas Olam. I mean, it was. They didn't have to kill that many. They could have just gotten rid of them without going after killing so many. So they weren't right about that either. So the next time when Klai Yisrael was going to go, the next day when they're going out to war, they asked Haosif Lageshes LaMilchama Im Binei Binyamin Achi. So they realized that maybe it wasn't so right what they did, and they mentioned that Binyamin, their brother, should they really be going to war? And that day Hashem said, Alu Eilav. Because Binyamin should be suffering, because Binyamin killed Jews unnecessarily. But again, they did not ask if they would win. Why? Because in their hearts, they really thought, well, of course we're going to win today. They thought maybe they had this setback because they should have, you know, they weren't right about going to start with, and whether they did it wrong, and they should have asked. And here they said, our brothers, maybe we shouldn't have done it, but they didn't think they'd actually lose the war just because they lost a day. They didn't think they would lose the war. So they didn't ask if they're going to win, because in their hearts, they were trusting on their military might. Guess what? They lost again that day. So 18,000 more Jews that day. Third day, there goes your tainus, and they did tshuva. Then they won that day. 25,000 Binyamin soldiers died, and they wiped out the city. And he says it's possible that they wiped out plenty of women and children there too, and that it worked out that they each lost around 40,000 each. And Chazal say this whole thing happened because of the Pesel of Micha. That is, there was a city, this guy had this, this guy was a Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and he'd set up a city of these type of people, and no one did anything about it. And Hashem says, that, you're mocha on the covet of Basar Vadam, but you weren't mocha on my covet. How come this city's going around and doing Avodah Zarah, nobody's stopping them? And that's why Hashem made them all get to this place of civil war. The Rabban says he just wanted to be mefarish that aga because the psukim are not so clear, and that's really what happened over there. Okay. Now the malachim come to Lot's house and they say, we're going to save you. And Lot was saved b'schus Avram, and the Rabban says an interesting thing, that Lot's household was saved b'schus achlas zorchim. That is, because it's the minig, that if you're going to save the person whose house you're staying in, you have to save their whole family. So that's why the rest of them got saved. Right, like the story of Yehoshua, they saved the whole family of Rachav. So here too, the Malachim saved the whole, we're going to save the family because they were staying by Lot. So it's a Mile of Achnas Zarchim, or a Derech Musar of Achnas Zarchim. Okay, and then when Lot's family runs away, everybody knows why Lot's wife turned around, she turned into a pillar of salt. Why is that? The Ramban's pshat is because the Shekhinah was there. When Hashem was, like sometimes in the time of punishment, Hashem's Shekhinah comes down. So Hashem's Shekhinah was there, and she looked back into the Shekhinah, and that's why she turned into a pillar of salt. Why salt? I don't know. Okay, then we have the pasuk Vahashem Himtir Al Stom. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Vahashem, Hashem Ubeis Dino. And then later on in the pasuk says, Me'is Hashem in Hashemayim, he says, That's just normal. In other words, why didn't the pasuk say, if it just said Hashem is him to us, why do I not need to say Meis Hashem? It could have said Meito. It's just that's the way the pasukim speak. So the Ramban just points out the Rashi put those as if it's like one flow. Those are that's actually machlokas. Those 2 points, not both. Like he quotes from the Bereishis Rabbah that the Hashem himter al Sodom, that was the Malach Gabriel. Meis Hashem and Hashemayim, that's Zakarish Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Yitzchak argues, Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, you know, that's the way of the Pesukim, that it'll say that. And Rabbi Lozer says, Vahashem is Hu Beis Dino. So you have 3 opinions. There's Rabbi Simon who says, Vahashem means Gabriel. Meis Hashem min Hashemayim Zakarish Baruch Hu. Rabbi Lozer says, Vahashem is Hu Beis Dino. So again, that's arguing with Rabbi Simon. And we have Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that Meis Hashem is just it's a derech to talk that way. Meaning the whole pasuk is that way. So either Vahashem means Gavriel, it means Hashem of Beis Dino, or the whole pasuk is just derech halashon ledaber kein. And Rashi makes it like it's always like taking parts of each. Okay. Now this is interesting. When Hashem saves Lot, it says Vayizkor Elokim es Avram, Vayishalach es Lot. So Lot was saved b'schus Avram. So the Ramban explains that Lot was really saved, not exactly b'schus Avram, but it's the schus that Lot had with Avram. So because Lot went with Avram wherever he went to keep him company, to be with him, so he shouldn't be alone. So that was the schus for him. And therefore, like, why is, and the whole thing, he was walking with him, and because Avram asked him to please, you know, this is not working, us living close together, because of him, he went to go live in Sodom. Otherwise, had Lot not been, wanted to keep Avram company, he'd have still been back in Haran. When Lot left Haran, when Avram left Haran, Lot was with him, that was to keep Avram company, or maybe keep him safe, or whatever it was. So it was to help out Avram. So now, because he left Haran to go with Avram, the whole thing happened. He ended up in Sodom. And that means, because of Hashem's tzivui to Avram, of Lech Lecha, and him trying to help out Avram or whatever, now he's going to die. So it was, in that sense, that's why the Ramban says Avram went to go save him when he was under attack in Sodom. And also why Hashem saved him from Sodom, because otherwise it would end up being that his doing a mitzvah ended up destroying him. So that was the schus. Okay, then we have the story of Avram going with Sarah to the Plishtim. And the same thing, he says, it's my sister. But the Ramban says this is a totally different ballgame over here. The people of Mitzrayim were Anshe Zima. So, but here, the people of, and this is the Ramban, and says it several times, the king of the Plishtim, it's more like, not like you get the sense from Rashi, but like in sense from the Psukim, that Avimelech was a good guy. And the Ramban actually thinks that, it says that, the Ramban, that Avimelech was a good guy, and the people of his town were good people, and Avram was choshed him, but it's not true. Avimelech was really a good guy, and had he said, it's my wife, sounds like nothing would have happened. As in Mitzrayim, that was not the case, because in Mitzrayim, it just says they took her. But here, that would not have happened. It was just Avram was choshed that they would have been bad, but they weren't. Avram also points out that it is a plia. How old is Sarah now? Right? She's so beautiful, they took her to Avimelech, because they said, okay, so, he said it was his sister. So they took her to Avimelech, because she's so beautiful. You know, she was old, 90. She had already stopped, having the ability to have kids. And to go to be taken, because she's so beautiful, he says it was an ace. And possibly when she was got her Orach Nashim back so that she could have Yitzchak, maybe her beauty came back as well. Meaning that she was closer to her youthful self. Okay, so then we have the story of, Avimelech took her, and then they all got, their rechem was closed up, which Ramban says means people couldn't give birth, and the Tashmish was kashalem, so Avimelech figured it out. And then had tainas on Avram, why didn't you tell me? And he had tainas to Sarah, and it sounds like the Ramban says that Avram was this pious, right? Avimelech gave them a bunch of money and all that. And he says, look, this is going to be the, help protect you, because I had to give you a ton of money that you shouldn't, nothing bad should happen to me, so no one's going to even look at you. That's the Ksusei Naim. No one's going to bother you. They'll be cut. Sorry, you'll be covered because of this gift I'm giving you. Everyone's going to see. Don't mess with you. And so Avram is this pious, but Sarah's not. Now, where does it say Sarah's not? Unless you remember this Ramban, you probably never read the pasuk this way. It says, "Sarah Amar Hinina Sati Alef Kesef Lachich." I gave $1,000 to your brother, which was, of course, you know, Avram. Hinehu Lach Ksusei Naim Lachal Asher Itach. Now, what are the next words? Veis Kol V'Nochachas. What do those words mean? So Rashi says, "Veis Kol" means with all V'Nochachas. You'll be able to prove this. Meaning the fact that I had to give you $1 billion to leave must be that I didn't touch you and you're holy and everyone will not mess with you and know that when you have a kid, it'll be your kid because I had to pay you all this money so that nothing should happen. Anyway, that's Menochacha means you'll prove to all. This will be your proof that nothing happened, that I didn't touch you. But the Ramban's pshat is not that. Not this will be a proof to all. Rather, the ace call means with all, v'nochacha, she was still fighting with him. She was mitvakeach with him, still didn't accept what he was trying to do to her. Isn't that great? Ace call, with it all, we mean even with the money, v'nochacha, she was still fighting with him. She wasn't as pious. She wasn't mochel. Okay, then we have the story with Yitzchak and Yishmael. It says, "Vateres Hagar ben Hagar haMitzvah sheYolda laAvram mitzachek." She saw Sarah that ben Hagar haMitzris, aka Yishmael, and Ramban's going to explain in a second why it didn't just say Yishmael. Sarah saw ben Hagar haMitzris sheYolda laAvram mitzachek. What does mitzachek mean? So Rashi says it's a lashon of avodas kachavim and gila raya shrichas damim, all that stuff. And then in Bnei Yitzchak, Rashi says, oh, because they were fighting over Yerusha. And he said, Yishmael was saying, I'm going to be Yerush, Avram, not you. So Ramban says, there's another machlokas of Rashi putting different, something that is a machlokas that should not go together. And again, I assume Rashi, you know, just is trying to go with Pshut El Shemikra, what fits. But he says that these are pshatim that argue with each other in the Medrash. And it's, I'm just reading it to you because it's interesting. Rabbi Kiva says that she saw mitzachek, and that's Lashon Avodah Zarah and all that. Get it right, Shrichas Damim. Va'ani Omer. Okay, it just says v'chuli. I don't know who else is talking, but maybe it's Rabbi Kiva talking. Va'ani Omer. Chas v'shalom shei bebeisel shel tzadikach. Of course, there was no Avodah Zarah. Get it right, Shrichas Damim going on in Avram's house. Efshar misha kasubo ki adatid l'man asher yitzav ez banav ez beisel alecha zecharai. Yeh bebeisel Avodah Zarah. Get it right, Shrichas Damim. How could that be? It can't be that there's such a thing in Avram's house. The pasuk says, I know he'll teach his family to go after me. Rather, it's talking about they're arguing about Yerusha. That's the Lashon Tzchok. Okay, so then when Rashi says that they're arguing about Yerusha, that doesn't go with this pshat. This pshat says that and it was not going to write Shrichtam of Anazar. Okay, so Rashi just wrote both. Anyway, the Ramban says he understands that this happened on the Yom HaGamelas Yitzchak, that Yishmael was scoffing, being malig on Yitzchak about his big mishtah, and he says, I'm the one who's going to inherit this whole thing. This is silly. And why was he called Ben Hagar HaMitzris? Because that's the point. Of course, you're not going to be, Sarah viewed him as the Ben Hagar HaMitzris, who's the Amma. She's not his wife. He's the Eved. Hagar was an Eved. She was the son of Hagar, who was her Eved. So, of course, he's not going to be Yorish anything, and it's a rebellion if you're your master. You're saying you're going to your master, you're going to be Yorish. So that's why he wanted her kicked out. And really, he wanted him kicked out, but he has to kick out the mother because Yishmael lo yochal la'azov es hanar. Okay, she needed him. And then when Hagar leaves and is out of food, so he says, the Ramban says, that is because Hashem told Avram, listen to whatever Sarah said. And Sarah said to kick her out right away. And therefore Avram didn't give her kesef, azav, avadim, balim, whatever, all that stuff he gave others, like Eliezer, because Sarah said, get rid of him now. Okay, then Avram makes his bris with Avimelech, and he says, Yishav Eli Belokim, Hina, Im Tishkor Li. So the Ramban just wants to know, this is a yisod for everywhere. When any time you heard the word Aleph Mem, it means if. It's a Lashon Misapekes. So what it means, and every time you'll find it, in the Lashon Shvua, what it means is, if it happens, then what I said, then I'm not telling the truth. Like we say in the Lachadori, Hashem Yishpati Ve'api, that he swore, Im Yivavun El Menuchasi, there it means, like that, Im Yivavun El Menuchasi, then I'm not telling the truth. But of course, he is. So that's, but the Lashon always means if. As opposed to Uncle Esther, makes it sound like that. That I will not. No, he says, it always means if. Okay, there we have that Avram builds an Eshel, Bever Shava, and he calls it B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. So the Ramban just interesting says, Kel Olam means the God who controls time in one pshat. I don't know what the relevance of that is there, but that's one of the pshatim he gives. Okay, or it means the whole world, but one of his pshatim is means God of time. Okay, then we have Akedis Yitzchak. I'm sorry this is going on long, but this is a huge... There's a lot of Rambans in this week's parsha, and a lot of them are very famous and very important. Okay, so Hashem tests Avram. Why does Hashem need it? There's a famous question. Why does Hashem need to test anybody? He's Hashem. He knows what's going to be in the future. What's the point of testing? So the Ramban says the point of testing is a zchus for the testee. Because Hashem tests people, he know who can pass it, and then it becomes a big zchus for them. So it's good for them. But it's motzi min a koach ala poel, it makes it bring into this world. When the person does the mitzvah and is a misgaber, even though Hashem knows he could be misgaber and even that he will be misgaber, but it's a schus for the person because this way they raised their level. That's not a test like Hashem needs to find out. It's nisayan means it's a test of the person that they to give them a schus to pass so that they raise their level. So it's, as he says, l'tovas hamenusa. Hashem does not test Rishayim because he's not going to pass it anyway. Okay, so Hashem tells him to go to Har Maria because it's the place that all these Karbanos, Adam Rishon, and Cain and Hevel and Noach, and that's the place that they did a Mizbeach. And Hashem wanted that, and this is Har Maria where the Beis HaMikdash will be, and Hashem wanted the Tzchus of Akedas Yitzchak to be Mu'uriv in all the Karbanos of the future. So he said, go there. And Avram had done Karbanos there before as well. Okay, and then it says, this is interesting, it says, Vayivaka Tzeola. So the Rabban first says, this is his great Zrizus that he brought wood with him in case he wouldn't find wood there. Or he says, he had taken specific wood that had no worms in it, because for when you bring a carbon, you have to bring, in the base of Megdash, wood that has no worms in it. That's Atzeola, the wood that would work for a carbonola. That's Atzeola. It had to be Naki from worms. Anyway, just at the end, after that, Kedis Yitzchak says, Ya Nasher Asisis HaDavar HaZeh, because you did this great thing, I'll make your nation great. So this is just what the Ramban says, this is a Haftacha, meaning it said before, the Haftacha is given, you know, if people sin, so then, you know, Hashem can take back a Haftacha. This was for sure, guaranteed, after this, it's guaranteed. And that was the purpose of this. If Ticho, Kerbe Zero, and no sin will come and get in the way. His Zero will never be wiped out. No Chet will happen, Sheikhla Zero. And he says, Zu Haftacha Shlema Begula HaSidalanu. This is a Haftacha, a guarantee that there will be eventual Gula.